You might have heard that there was a High Court challenge to the federal government's offshore processing regime on Manus Island. Well, the High Court has come back now and knocked back that challenge. Lawyers acting for an Iranian detainee who's known only as S156 were trying to claim that sections of the Migration Act that enable asylum seekers to be processed offshore were unconstitutional. They were unsuccessful in doing that. What does that mean for offshore processing generally? I'm joined now by Professor Greg Taylor, Associate Professor at Monash University Law School, who'll take us quickly through this. Greg, thank you very much for speaking to us today. What was the basis of the constitutional objection here?
Well, the constitutional objection arose because the federal parliament only has power to legislate about specific subjects. That's part of being a federation. It has a list of subjects in the constitution that it can legislate on, and one of them is, amusingly enough, aliens. Mm. And so the challenge was brought on the claim that this was not legislation about aliens. And the court said, well, yes, it is. It operates directly on these aliens. It says that they have to be removed. That is legislation about aliens. The plaintiff tried a complicated argument saying, well, in order to be legislation about aliens, something has to be proportionate to the ends that it's trying to achieve. And the court said, no, it doesn't. Aliens are affected by this legislation directly, and therefore this is legislation about aliens, end of story.
So does this tell us much about the legality of offshore processing generally? Or is it perhaps a sign that they tried on an argument that, the way you describe it there, sounds idiosyncratic at best, that perhaps offshore processing is on very strong legal ground?
Yes, it was probably worth a try. I mean, everything's worth a try. But yes, it was certainly a brave argument. This happens from time to time, that people lose the democratic argument, as these people at the moment anyway seem to have done. So they try the king hit. They try saying, well, you know, we can have this declared unconstitutional, and very occasionally it works. Most of the time it doesn't work, and I think constitutional people will find this a very unsurprising decision.
Did they try any international legal arguments here, which have not always been successful, I should say, in the High Court?
Yeah, not really. I mean, they had a sideswipe at the legislation on the grounds that it might not require us to take account of our international legal obligations. And the court essentially said, well, that's a question for Parliament. In the end, of course, we're a member of the Refugee Convention only voluntarily. There's no compulsion requiring anyone to be a member of the Refugee Convention. Singapore, for example, isn't. So it's therefore completely up to the government and Parliament whether we abide by the Refugee Convention and to what extent.
We've passed the Refugee Convention as a matter of domestic law, though, haven't we?
Yes, but we can always qualify the extent to which we adhere to it. And the court said there may be some doubt whether the provisions of this legislation, which were inserted after the Malaysian Declaration case, can be said to respond to Australia's obligation under the Refugees Convention, blah, blah, blah. But that would simply mean that the legislation does not follow the Refugees Convention, if that were the case.
May not comply with international law, doesn't matter for our purposes.
Yes, that's not a criterion of validity of the legislation.
Yes, well, unless you're Justice Kirby, but that's a separate argument. Greg, thank you very much. Appreciate your insights.
No problems.
Professor Greg Taylor, Associate Professor at Monash University Law School.